Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We are back. It's 13 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I appreciate your business. Let me tell you who our special guests are this hour. Beverly Williams is our good friend. You know her very well. She's been with us many times before to talk to us about home-based business issues. She lives and breathes home-based because she is the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. Beverly, welcome back.
Well, good morning. Thank you.
Good to have you here again. And Beverly, as you know, is one of the very first guests I ever had on this show. Bless her heart. She still comes back. And that, I'm not sure what that says about her. But anyway, she's also a member of our Brain Trust. And Beverly,
I'm dedicated.
That's right. You are dedicated. There's no question about that. And we have another guest. Her name is Lisa Soames, and Lisa is a pet sitter. She operates out of her own home, and we're going to get her to tell us a little bit about herself today. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
And you've recently gotten to know Beverly, haven't you?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Well, I've listened to your show for a long time and always listened to Beverly, and actually she lives not too far from where I do, and have finally taken a challenge and gone out and hooked up with her, so I look forward to a lot of new learning experiences.
So you joined the AAHBB.
Yeah.
Good for you. I'm glad to hear that.
And the nice thing was that she put a note on her membership application, you know, telling me that she had been listening to the show for a long time and got something out of it. So that was nice feedback, which we don't always get direct feedback from. So.
Well, good for you, Lisa. I appreciate that. Beverly, as I said, you're the co-host. Maybe I'm your co-host this hour. Go ahead. I'm going to let you take the lead on interviewing Lisa.
Well, this is still the Small Business Advocate Show, and you're still the Small Business Advocate. So we do this together.
That's right. Go ahead.
But I'm really pleased to have Lisa here. I think that she has a neat story to tell us. And Lisa, why don't you start with how long ago you started this business and why? What were you doing before you decided to start your pet sitting business?
Before that, I was in actually the restaurant business for a long time, about 18 years. Mm-hmm. First started out cooking and then went into chef school and did that, and then eventually went into the corporate staff, but working with the company, going around opening up their restaurants and their kitchens. And I was with them for 8 years, and the whole time I was with them, the better I got with management, the more I dreamed about being out on my own, because I was always making them so much money.
Mm-hmm.
I knew somehow I could do it for myself, but I just was too much in the comfort zone and didn't want to leave the vacations and the health insurance and the nice pay. And then after 8 years with them, I was part of a downsizing and got laid off overnight.
I recognize that. Many people do.
Yes.
And the next day, I put a tape message on my machine that I was moving on up to the big time. I was scared to death. I owed a lot of money on my credit cards because I was living very well, like a lot of people are now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thrown out there and decided this is my chance. And I was very nervous about being a business owner because I just didn't have the confidence to do it. And so I was too afraid to go into retail and pay rent and buy inventory, so I tried to find something simple, and a friend of mine was doing in-home pet sitting. And being in debt as I was, I didn't have much money to start anything, so I went out to the printers the next day and came up with a name and had them print me up some cards for $25 and started going out and knocking on the doors of all the vet hospitals around here. And at that time, there were only two other pet sitters.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was pretty good. And me and my dogs became best friends with everybody around town. And still is today, 11 years later, I've never advertised. It's all been referral and word of mouth. And I stay very busy and overbooked. And actually, about 5 years ago, I reached my peak of being able to take clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, after being in management and having large staff for a long time, it was the last thing I wanted to do is have more employees, along with liabilities and taxes and all sorts of other things. So I kind of branched out and started campaigning people to start up their own little businesses. So I started, as now I have five other little pet sitting businesses that I started up with people.
Wow.
And I, when new people call me, I just refer over to them, which is really nice because it takes the pressure off of me of feeling guilty of saying no to new clients.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lisa, are you part of their business? Do you own part of their business?
I help them.
But do you own part of their business, or do you get any kind of a fee from them?
No.
So basically, you're just their mentor.
She's a nurturer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice because you see people come out just like I did. I think a lot of it was because I know how I felt. I didn't really have anybody helping me, and I feel really great when I see these people needing money, and I set them up just as I did, and they grow. And because we all refer each other, we all stay very busy and overbooked, and it's always time to open up, find someone else, and it's hard to do. And
what a wonderful testimony, Lisa. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that, and I'm so proud of you for doing that, because I'll tell you, that's a wonderful way to give back to the marketplace and to give back to your community, and I'm really proud of you for that.
Well, thank you.
That is fantastic, Lisa, because so few people do that. I don't know whether there was any particular person that might have helped you get going, you know, giving you a hand up, but to reach back and help other people coming along behind you is absolutely wonderful, and we certainly need more of that, more mentoring in small businesses.
But you know, Beverly, I'm actually seeing that happen more and more among people like that are on Lisa's mm-hmm. organizational level.
Right.
Lisa, I don't know whether you're seeing that yourself, but out there where on the level that you're at, when I say your level, I've been at that level as well, which is that, you know, basically you're by yourself.
Yeah.
And so these other people, you don't see them as competitors. You see them as part of your small business network, your community.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, that's happening online. And I know I've said this on the show before, but it's worth saying again. And I don't know whether, Lisa or Beverly, if you've seen this, but the people that I meet virtually have a similar attitude to that.
Well, and I think it's because of the growth of the small, single-owned business, whether it's home-based or not, and they want to keep it that way, and this is strategic partnering the way to go.
Lisa, what's the name of your business?
Pet Sitting by Lisa.
Pet Sitting by Lisa. That's Lisa Stones, ladies and gentlemen. She's one of my heroes. She's going to be back with us the rest of the hour, as will Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, 888-822-8255. Stay with us. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Glassingham, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm excited today because I have two lovely ladies visiting with us this hour. Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, the AAHBB, and add a .org on the end of those letters, and you get their website. And also Lisa Soans, who is the owner of Pet Sitting by Lisa. And Lisa, you are in the Maryland area, right? The Maryland, D.C. area?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you get over into D.C.?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay. All right, good, good. And Beverly is my co-host this hour. She's helping me to interview Lisa. We're talking with Lisa about how she got started, what was going on in her mind when she was working for someone else, what was the circumstances around her deciding to become a home-based business owner, which is what she's just gotten through telling us. And that's what we're talking about. We wanted her to tell us how she got her company started and what the good, the bad, and the ugly were while she was doing that and while she's doing it now that she's got a more mature company. And Beverly, you had some other questions.
Well, I did. Liz, I think you said something very interesting when you were talking about being downsized, that initially, before that happened, you felt that you could be doing this for yourself. You could be making all this money, doing all this business on your own. And then when you started your own business, or as you were starting it, you said you had a lack of confidence into whether or not you really could do that. What was the difference?
Fear.
Okay? The fear of?
The fear. I mean, I used to just sit around all the time and just go, God, I can do anything. I know I can do anything. And I had the confidence to do it, and I think that's why I didn't want to go into certain things and tried to pick something simple. But
I guess it's got a lot of hard work. I wouldn't call your business simple.
Oh, no, it is a lot of work, and it's 7 days a week, and you put a lot of energy into it, but...
And you're still a business, so you still have to do all the things that a business would do to run profitably. You have to keep good records and pay your taxes and know how to market.
Exactly. You have to be very organized, and you have to... I think that's what a lot of my previous jobs taught me, the organization, the pressure to handle a lot of stress, to handle people, and when you get those type of skills, no matter what you're doing, it doesn't matter what business you go into, it helps you immensely.
Mm-hmm. Was the business then your sole source of income, or was it a supplementary income to a family? Or?
When I first started, when I got downsized, I started part-time jobs because I wanted to get out of debt. And I started this right away, mm-hmm. and it took a couple of years to build it, and in the meantime, I kept a part-time job because I needed the health insurance benefits and didn't want to, I didn't want to go for broke and bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
which I came very close to, but, with just constantly going and being driven to succeed with this, I was able to pull myself out of it and do very well.
Being in debt is a wonderful motivator to work
hard,
isn't it?
Sure is.
Being downsized is as well.
Yep.
And, a lot of people have the luxury of being, I'm sure before you were downsized, you were already thinking about having your own business.
Yeah, for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how to do it.
Yeah, and a lot of people are like that. They're working for someone else. In fact, did you guys know that 1 in 12 Americans, employees in America right now, 1 in 12 is actively thinking about starting their own business? And that was from a recent survey by the Forrester Group. So that's a lot of folks out there. And the thing is that those people have the time while they're thinking about it and while they have a job to sort of get something started. But you are like me, Lisa. I was downsized as well. Actually, I was downsized twice in 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had, as Beverly said, you had a motivator. One of your motivators was debt, but the other one was you were out of a job.
Yeah.
And I think this happens for a lot of people. We have the desire, but too many times it takes a being downsized or some major event happening in your life as an employee that pushes you into taking that leap of faith because it is scary. And that's what I heard you say. They said it was very scary. You had a lot of fears. I feel I can do this, but then when you really have to go out and do it, it can be a whole different picture. And it is very scary and alone feeling.
Yeah.
The important thing to remember always, of course, is that you're never alone. You've got lots of people that will help you.
Lisa, since I was downsized many, many years ago, I've since gone back and thanked both of the people who downsized me.
I did too.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Good for you. Stand by, ladies. We've got to take a quick break. It's 29 after, folks. We're having a great time with Lisa Soames and Beverly Williams. Stay with us, please. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I appreciate your business. I also appreciate the dedication of our good friend Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, the AAHBB, and the dedication that she has to all of you home-based business owners out there, every single one, whether you're a member of her organization or not. And if you're not, you need to check out and join the AAHBB, because for $30 a year you get an awful lot. And you can do that by going to aahbb.org, right, Beverly?
That's correct.
And give us a phone number.
They can call 1-800-447-9710.
And one of Beverly's brand new members of the AAHBB is Lisa Soames, and she's our other guest. She's a real live home-based business owner. She owns a company called Pet Sitting by Lisa, right?
Right.
Okay. I need you to give us a phone number.
301-942-0907.
And you're in the Yellow Pages?
Nope.
You're in the White Pages?
I'm not in either, only because I just have so many referral clients that I don't
need to be in
there.
You don't even have to be in. What a high-class problem. What a high-class problem. Folks, talk about... Now, that's what you can do in some industries, some businesses.
Mm-hmm.
If you're that darn good at what you do, you actually have to keep people from contacting you.
Well,
Lisa, that's a high-class problem, I'll tell you.
Well, one secret is if you let people be known that you're a referral-only business, they yeah. want you bad.
Yeah.
And you stay busy. And
it's the snob appeal, Beverly.
That's right. I was just thinking that.
It's the snob appeal. You know, you worked that very well, Lisa. I like that.
Also, I mean, I call my clients rather than customers, and I think they like that. They feel it's a little bit more of a, upward or something,
yeah.
rather than customers.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. Lisa, this is something that I have noticed about my folks, my clients, as you say, and that's what I call them as well. Have you found that they like taking some ownership in your success?
Yeah.
When they refer people to you, have you found that they're doing it for you, but it also makes them feel good?
Mm-hmm. And they know I said that. I think sometimes it frustrates. They don't like it sometimes because I'm too busy because they think I'm going to forget about them.
Right.
Which I don't.
Yeah, you work it in.
Mm-hmm.
You said something a minute ago that I wanted to get back to, and Beverly, I know you wanted to talk about this as well. You said you were, you felt like you could make money for other people. You could make it, if you could make money for other people, you could make money for yourself.
Yeah.
When you, and I said that too. I used those same words as I was starting my small business. And as I was contemplating it, because I was a good employee for 23 years, most of those 23 years I was thinking about doing my own thing. But when I got into it, I found that I was sort of right and I was sort of wrong. There were some things that I was not prepared for. What about you?
Yeah.
What were some of those?
Well, first one of my motivators was always in management, they always give you a bonus option, and every time at the end of the quarter they come back and say, well, you didn't quite do this, you didn't quite do that, so we're cutting your bonus, yeah. which was, get frustrating, and
mm-hmm.
I would be making them an awful lot of money, and I did. I'd sit there and I'd go, I can make the money myself, it'll be all mine instead of giving them most all of it. And once I got out there, actually after I got laid off, I make a whole lot more money than I did my last corporate salary now.
Mm-hmm.
But
what was it that you didn't know about being in business for yourself that wasn't apparent when you were working for somebody else?
I always worked a lot of hours, but now I work a lot of hours. And you sacrifice a lot, but I think what you get in return was feeling successful, and every time I scratch off that last thing on my list for the day and now I did it for myself,
mm-hmm.
The feeling is just so much better. I feel so much better about owning my own business, and I get much more gratification than when even the boss comes in and says, you got a raise, you got a promotion. Because I'm giving my own self raises and promotions, and I can drive where I go with my clients.
But you went on the air with us at 11, a little after 7 Eastern this morning, and you had already been working.
I'd already been out this morning.
Yeah.
Had you already made a call this morning?
A couple of them, and then I'll be back out the rest of the day.
Okay. Now, folks, that's what it takes, though. It takes that kind of dedication. It's probably very difficult to identify the scene between your personal life and your professional life, isn't it?
Yeah. But, living here in Washington, you either have people that make a lot of money and don't work a whole lot, and then you have people that work an awful lot and work more than I do. And so sometimes it gets frustrating when I see the people that work less, and my friends are going, come on, can't you go do this? And I'm like, no, I need to take care of that. But, it really... the gratification you get from it all is just absolutely worth it.
And your business ties you down even more than other types of businesses might.
Yeah.
Technology-based businesses that can take their computer and go to the beach and do work from their computer there, you can't do that. You are very definitely tied down to this area and to your clients and their needs. So being able to take any time off is a major difficulty for you, isn't it?
And it's a 7-day-a-week job, too, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the first 8 years, I didn't take time off. I was dedicated to really building this up. And now that I have these other little guys around me, when I really want to take that time off, I can pull them, and they'll help me out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it still flows, and they know what's going on. And, I mean, this is a real liability job. You're going into people's homes, and people trust you. And, it's a lot out there.
Yeah. Hmm. What kind of help did you get or have in getting started in a pet sitting business? What I'd like to talk about when we come back.
Yeah, we're going to talk specifically about the pet sitting business and some specifics about how she manages her business.
Okay.
Lisa Soans is the lady we're going to ask those questions of. She's our special guest. She is the owner of Pet Sitting by Lisa in the Washington, D.C. area. Beverly Williams is my co-host this hour. She's the president of the AAHPB. I'll be right back, 888-822-8255. Give us a call. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 After. Thank you for joining us. One of my heroes is our guest this hour. One of my guests this hour. Her name is Lisa Soane. She's the owner of Pet Sitting by Lisa. She works out of the Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, Southern Maryland part of the world. And she has been listening to this show for a long time, she tells me, over our Maryland station there and in out of Gaithersburg.
WMET.
WMET, that's right. Thank you, Beverly. And they do a great job there. And Lisa, I appreciate you listening to us. And in fact, you reminded me that you called in last Thanksgiving when I was doing my work on Thanksgiving Day, and you were doing your work on Thanksgiving Day.
I had to see you out there against
the
world.
That's exactly right. In fact, I think that's what you said. I remember those holiday callers.
Well, I was impressed I didn't rerun a show of yours, that you were out there live for everybody.
Every day. I haven't missed one day.
That's right.
Not even Christmas or any days. I've been there Monday through Friday for almost 2 years.
I'm 42 years old, and I never in my life called in sick on my job.
You know, I never have either. In 30-something, way more than 30-something years, I've never taken a day off for sickness. Never. I've worked sick a few days, but I never have called in sick. Oh, okay. Beverly, you were going to ask Lisa about some of the specifics about pet sitting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was really interested in knowing how she decided to get into pet sitting and what kind of help or resources she found for getting involved in that kind of a business.
It's one of the last things I ever thought I'd get into, and but obviously you love animals. I love it, and I work outside all day long, and because I do stay pretty much referral, I stay with the neatest clients in the world. Every one of them are you know, they become like family to you because they're really neat people, and because I do that, I've never had problems. I've never had a check bounce on me up. People usually pay me really quick, but I got into it because a friend of mine was doing it, and I needed money so bad, and she told me what she made her second year, and I said, well, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's that entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
I can do that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard the first couple of years because, you know, not many people knew of people coming into their homes. Everybody just used kennels.
Right.
And, going from corporate down to, doing pet sitting was extremely hard on my ego.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from coming up that big job and bragging, yeah, I do this, and then you go into saying, well, I do this. But it was just, I guess, the drive to see if I could succeed in a small business. It was like instead of jumping ship from a company, I was pushed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was either sink or swim, and I just had to pull myself together and have the right attitude. And it was kind of fun. It doesn't matter what the work is. It's the fun of watching it grow and watching you come up with these ideas and put the puzzle together and becoming a little successful with
and
it.
And knowing that it belongs to you.
Absolutely, it belongs to
That's
me instead
the big
of that
thing,
boss.
Isn't it? Yeah. All right, now, talk to us about some of the things that were the biggest challenges for you to owning your own business. Not necessarily the pet sitting part, but just in general.
I think fear, and then it was rare if I heard somebody say no. I didn't want to hear the word no. And the more I heard the word yes, and the client took me, the more it drove me to be happy with, you know, God, this is great. It's working. It's working.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the hardest part is the hours because I work a lot. But because I'm happy with what I do, the 16 hours, sometimes that I get home and I'm like, wow, I succeed. You know, it's all done. I feel great. Did I really work that much today? And it's a big balance.
Lisa, do you do your own record keeping? You keep your own client database? You pay your own, file your own tax returns?
I do all that, but I do have an accountant who I can do to turn it all over to. At the end of the year, she does it, but the rest of the time, I do it.
Okay.
And I have it all set up so simply that I can come in and do it.
Did you have a background in keeping databases and financial records when you were working in the industry, or is this something you had to learn to do when you started your business?
Well, being in management, I kind of I was real organized.
Mm-hmm.
It helped. I came up with all my own forms, and what didn't work, I redid it, and have very simplified everything that I can,
mm-hmm.
so it runs really smoothly.
Well, I tell you, I have to take my hat off to you, Lisa, because you have a wonderful attitude that, although there was certainly the fear there and not wanting to be rejected and not knowing whether you could really make it and having the debt behind you sort of pushing you on,
yeah,
but at the same time, an awful lot of fear because of that,
mm-hmm,
you really do have a can-do attitude, and that is so vital to the success that you've had.
And you find out it works, and it just keeps you going.
Keeps,
you know,
unfeeding it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This fear thing, in small business, for me, one second I would be just overjoyed and excited about what I was doing and the possibilities, and the next second, or maybe not the next second, but a few minutes later, you know, I'd be confronted with some other things and I would have this fear that you're talking about,
mm-hmm,
and that's the way it goes, and you have to balance those, don't you?
Yeah, you just have to go. Just don't even look back. Just keep going forward. If you look back on, oh God, you know, you can't do that. You just have to have the right attitude and direction to go, because otherwise you're going to be working for somebody and you're going to hate that.
That's a big motivator, too.
That's right.
There's a book called The Professional Pet Sitter by Lori and Scott Mangold, M-A-N-G-O-L-D, that I'd like to recommend to you folks. If any of you are out there would like to get into pet sitting, The Professional Pet Sitter by Lori and Scott Mangold. If you can't find that, email me or call me, and I'll make sure you get in touch with those folks if you can't find their book. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Lisa Soans of Pet Sitting by Lisa and Beverly Williams of the AAHBB. I'm Jim Blassingame of the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and you should be getting the brand new one with all the good stuff in it. Please check that out and let me know what you think. I'm looking forward to your comments. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. We're visiting with our very dear friend, Beverly Williams, the president of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, and one of her new friends and one of my longtime listeners, Lisa Soans, who owns a pet sitting business. And Beverly is my co-host this hour. She's helping me to interview Lisa as she talks to us about what motivates her, what drives her, how she got started, what she was afraid of, what obstacles she has overcome, and how successful she has been in her home-based business, which is a pet sitting business. And ladies, I really appreciate you being with us today. Very much. Beverly, go ahead. Let's don't forget, this is Home-Based Business Week, right?
That's right. That's right. We talked about that a few weeks ago and encouraged home-based business owners to get their story out and help all of us to keep on raising that image of what a home-based business professional really is. A home-based business is a professional who is working very hard to make a living and make a life, even more importantly, out of our home-based business, and it runs the gamut of types.
Yep.
Lisa, I really and truly think it's appropriate that you are our guest today for Home-Based Business Week, during Home-Based Business Week, because I think it's just wonderful. Your whole attitude of can-do is just great. But there's got to be days when you get up before the sun rises and you have this long list of things to do that you wonder why you are doing this. Just for that split second maybe, or maybe for longer. But where do you get the motivation to keep on going?
A reputation, I guess.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times I just say, I don't know how I do it, but I get through all this, and the next day I'll always be better or whatever, because there are times I'm just so busy that, you know, you sacrifice a lot of social life and your friends, and hopefully they understand, and they'll be back there when you get through those days, but I think just having my own business is what really drives me and makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
The ownership.
Yep. And you know, you just, as long as you're happy, you can do it all.
And knowing that you did it, and not only that you did it, but you started from nothing, basically.
Yep.
And you created something that didn't exist before.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal to me.
You know, I mean, I'd like to get a plug in here for Jim, because he and I have gotten to know each other over the last couple of years, and I know that you have told me you listen to this show in your car radio as you're going about your job,
yeah,
and that it has really been something that has helped you, the kind of information and the people that he has on. talk a little bit about that real quick.
It's to me, it's like on-the-job training, really. You know, I don't need those extra college courses because he's got every guest in the world, and you study more with him than you're going to get over in the college. But they motivate me, and, you know, just to hear other people out there with what's going on is nice, and you learn an awful lot.
So you know that you're not alone.
Yeah, and, you know, what motivates me is, you know, I listen to shows like his and some other business shows, but it's nice to have a small business show on because a lot, you just don't find that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have little classes around town about it, but it's nice to have that support out there. And, you know, even though he doesn't realize we're out there, we're there.
I, as much as I hate you folks, I've got to interrupt him.
You
guys were on a roll there. I was enjoying that. Ladies, I got to wrap it up for this hour. Lisa, you're my hero. I want you to know that. I'm so proud of you
for what
you've done, and I thank you for joining us today.
Okay.
Good luck. Please let us know if we can do anything.
All right. Thanks, both of you.
Beverly, as always, you are the best.
Oh, it's always my pleasure, especially to bring people like Lisa here to share their story.
That was great. We'll see you next week.
I'll be here.
Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners just like Lisa. And remember, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness today. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.